Hello, everybody. My name is Steve Koh once again. I'm an assistant professor at SUNY at Buffalo. I just started last year. The title of the paper is The Hyrex Model for Confidentiality and Privacy in Cloud Computing. But because this is a 10-minute talk, I'm not going to talk about all the details about the specific systems that we're building. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk more about the context and the big picture where this Hyrex research fits in. I thought that would be a better use of my time, so that's what I'm going to do. So the main question that drives this research is, what if we don't trust clouds? Understand that this is a big question. It's a broad question. So more specifically, what I'm interested in is answering this question. To what extent can we utilize clouds with partial trust? It's not full trust, it's not no trust, but partial trust somewhere in between. And there are several reasons why this question could be interesting. The first reason is that some people just don't trust clouds. If you, for example, Google, say, cloud computing fear security with these keywords, then you can actually find a lot of reports about how people don't actually trust clouds, or how some people try to convince other people that cloud computing is actually secure. But the bottom line is that all these reports and all these misconception maybe exist, and some people just don't trust clouds many times. So this is one reason that the question might be interesting. And people who don't trust clouds, they actually have reasons to believe that cloud computing might be insecure. And one of the reasons is because threats do exist. If you look at the research literature, there's some research papers that talk about potential vulnerabilities in cloud computing. They talk about how to launch attacks in different cloud computing environments. And also in media, if you, again, Google with cloud computing security incidents, you can actually find a lot of reports, articles that talk about different problems, security vulnerabilities in cloud computing. So threats do exist. But the thing is that cloud computing offers benefits. For example, there's this property, elasticity, in which you can actually dynamically scale up and down. It's a very good property to have. And there's a pay-as-you-go model. You don't have to commit big money upfront, in order to get your infrastructure up and running, but instead you can just pay as you go. You can just pay as much as you use, which is a very good property to have. And arguably, cloud environments are better maintained and more available than, say, your local cluster. This is arguable, but I think in many cases this is true. And there can be some other benefits. So all of this made me sort of think about one question, which is actually the main question. So once again, some people don't trust clouds. Threats do exist, but there are benefits in cloud computing. So can we still utilize clouds without full trust? If so, to what extent? So this is, again, the main question. Can we say something like, hey, you don't have to trust cloud fully, but instead, if you trust cloud this much, then you can utilize the cloud this much. If you trust cloud that much, then you can utilize cloud that much. Can we say something like this? Can we give more options to the client in terms of trust? So right now, I think there are two extremes that typically a client has to choose from. One extreme is full trust. You just trust the cloud computing provider, and you just utilize the cloud and anything that they offer. You just fully trust and fully utilize. The other extreme is that you just don't trust any of the cloud computing providers, so you don't use it. So these are the two extremes that clients are typically forced to choose from. And the main question is, rephrased, it could be this: what's in the middle? What's in between the full trust and no trust? Can we make trade-offs between these two extremes? Can we utilize partially clouds with partial trust? So this is the main question, once again. So Hybrex is actually one or our very first attempt to explore this middle ground. And the specific version of the main question for Hybrex is, what if the only concern is private or confidential data leakage? So if you don't trust clouds for your private data, what can you do? Can you still utilize clouds to some extent? So that's the main question for Hybrex. And the main idea itself is actually very simple, and there are actually two parts to the main idea. The first part is partitioning, the second part is tainting. And partitioning is actually illustrated in this diagram here, and I'm going to use the term public clouds to refer to this regular cloud offering, and I'm going to use this term private cloud for any internal private cluster. It doesn't have to be virtualized, but it could be any other cluster, private local cluster. So I'm going to use the term private cloud for that. And there is public cloud and private cloud. And the idea of partitioning is basically because you don't trust public clouds for your private data, you just don't use them for your private data. Instead, you partition your data and computation into two parts, private and public. And for public data and computation, you utilize public clouds. For private data and computation, you utilize your private local cluster. So that's the main idea for partitioning. And there's Hybrex execution framework and Hybrex storage that are common to both types of clouds that are actually aware of this partitioning idea and that also implements the second part, which is tainting. And actually, on top of this, if your application accesses both private and public data, you partition your application too and run them across these different types of clouds. So that's the main idea. And tainting is basically, if you're familiar with the information flow tracking area at all, what it does is basically it keeps track of all the information flow within your system so that we could prevent information leakage from, in this case, for example, private to public cloud, because we want to keep all the private information inside of the private cloud. So those two are the main parts of the idea. And as you can see, this is actually a general framework that can be applied to many different contexts. And a specific context that we're exploring right now is MapReduce and Bigtable. And the reason why we have chosen this environment is because it is popular, first of all. And it is relatively easy to partition because MapReduce is massively parallel execution environment. So we chose this environment to as a good start, basically. And this diagram here shows you how it might look like. So you could run map tasks over both private and public clouds. You could run reduce tasks over both private and public clouds. And there are challenges that we need to overcome to build these systems, and we are actively exploring how to solve these challenges. And the first challenge is applications. And again, the main question is, to what extent can we utilize clouds without sacrificing confidentiality and privacy? So we're actively looking into different types of applications that we can benefit from our approach. And we believe that there are opportunities that exist. We are trying to apply this to PigLatin and Hive that are built atop MapReduce, which can be a more general framework than just MapReduce. So there can be opportunities to exist. The second challenge is declassification. This is a question of how to enable private to public communication, because we don't want to leak private information from private to public. But for some applications, you might want to actually enable communication between private and public. And what we're doing is we're proposing a new phase called sanitize phase in MapReduce, besides map and reduce, so that a programmer can explicitly instruct the system that this is how you could sanitize private information. And the third challenge is performance. And this challenge comes from the fact that we are actually essentially running MapReduce over the wide area. And this might sound like an absurd idea to some of you, but the catch here is that we're actually adding resources from public clouds to the private clouds. So we're not actually limited by the private cloud. So we're adding more resources. So there's an opportunity to improve performance because we're utilizing more resources. And the fourth challenge is integrity checking, and it takes a lot of probably a lot of time to explain this. So I'm gonna skip to this and defer the discussion of this to my poster session. So if you're interested in knowing more about the details of the systems and the solutions that we are taking, considering right now, I have a poster session, so I'll be waiting for you to discuss more details. And if you could remember this, we're exploring the middle ground here, full trust and no trust, full utilization and no utilization. We're exploring this middle ground. So if you could remember this, then you could easily find my poster. Thank you. That's a good question. We're actually exploring. So this is basically what we're doing is building a taint system for MapReduce. So that's actually part of the question. Can we incorporate the tainting techniques into MapReduce, and to what scale can we do that? So that's part of the question that we're exploring right now. I think the bottom line is that MapReduce allows you to easily partition different tasks because it's already massively parallel. So once you do that and once you tag your source data into public and private, then inside of the system you can easily track the information flow within the computation. So I think that's the bottom line. I think it is possible.
So when you say taint tracking, do you mean taint tracking in virtual machine level? Because as I understand, it has a significant overhead, like 20 times or 25 times overhead. If a previous literature, that's what they suggest. So is this the one you are suggesting? Because it might not scale, right?
So we're trying to incorporate tainting into MapReduce framework itself, not at the virtual machine level.
So you expect the overhead to be lower compared to the whole system tainting?
I would say the overhead would be lower, yeah, if you incorporate it in the MapReduce level rather than virtual machine level. Okay. Yeah. And our approach is actually agnostic to virtualization, so it doesn't have to run over virtual machines. It could run over virtual machines, but yeah.
Real machines as well.
Right.
So to some extent, doesn't this partitioning
Does that happen already? I'm not actually aware of any approach that actually partitions data into private and public. So I'm not sure if that's happening right now. Certainly hybrid approaches are happening right now. So people are actively trying to utilize both private and public clouds at the same time. So at that level, yeah, it's true that people are trying to utilize both hybrid, both clouds, both types of clouds. But specifically when it comes to private and public data, I'm not actually aware of any approach that does that.
I guess let me ask another question.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I'm really interested in this, line of work. So have you done any sort of cost-benefit analysis? If there's any private data at all, maybe it makes sense for me to run all my MapReduce jobs locally. It doesn't make any sense to move anything at all to a public cloud. Have you done, there may be some cost in moving into public data and running it and paying for cost-benefit analysis of when and to what extent a hybrid execution model is beneficial?
Right. I think that's certainly a good direction to follow. We haven't done anything in that regard. But even in the session, like two sessions ago, there was a talk about the cost analysis of the hybrid approach. And I kind of realized that maybe that's what we should do also in HybridX.
Okay. So is there another question? Let's thank the speaker.